We were talking about the changes in farming, the mechanization of farming. Something we noticed, a change from labor to machines. I'm interested in the labor aspect. When did you start hiring people outside the family to help you harvest with the fields and to what you've evolved in the last few years?
Way back in the 20s, we never were berry harvesting. We always had somebody helping. We always hired, we had the Indians in, we had the Japanese families in, we had the Chinese families in, we had the Filipinos in, we had the white race people in, Caucasians in. So we had people from different races and different families.
You'd have Indians in, where were they coming from?
Right in the reservation. They come in 7 months to pick berries. So we had labor from all over. We never had Mexicans until after World War II. Then the Mexicans started coming in quite a bit. As we didn't. Maybe other people had it. I couldn't say for them, but we ourselves had help from local as well as Indians and, like I say, Filipinos and Chinese and Japanese too, or even white people.
Initially, how many people were you hiring that weren't to help with harvest?
Well, when my dad was running it, well, he had hired 60 people out there. But they were producing more berries per person than they are now. You know what I mean? They're putting longer hours. Common labor was working 10 hours a day. And those people put in as high as 12 hours a day. They get out when it's dark in the morning and stay till the dark at night till they can't see. So they were putting in longer hours, so they were, per person, they were putting out more labor per hour, per day, you see.
More workaholics.
Well, you can just figure one person putting out 60, 70 crates a day of berries, double flats. Those are 24 hours a crate. Pick 60 of those a day.
That's a lot of berries already.
It is. It's equivalent to 120 flats. We've had, in other words, we had the peak of the season, we had an average of 44 flats for the crew. We were making 4 trips a day with a truck to Portland.
This was with who now? Who was doing the picking this fast?
The Japanese, Filipinos, they were real fast. Japanese, Filipinos, Chinese were fast. Mexican were, not Mexican, the Indians were, and the, were the slowest of all of them, I think. We had some white people that were real fast too.
Where were these Japanese and Filipinos coming from themselves?
Well, I come out of town, you know, a lot of people, you know, winter months, they, some of them are go only summer months only. In other words, they were seasonal workers. Winter months they lay around. But they were follow all the harvesting, like a strawberry and all the cane berries, then go to Hoosier for the apples. Some will go to hop picking, and some of the men folks will go to Alaska for salmon fishing. The women folks, the kids stay home, pick berries, such in that manner, see. And they camp right out in the farm, put up their own tents. That was just like you people going camping, you know. They bring the camp out to the farm. It was not uncommon to see about 20 tents lined up. 16 by 16 tents. And they have one tent for the living quarter and a small tent for the kitchen, or mess tent they call it. They have a stove in there and chimney come out the side and they cook and eat there.
They would provide all their own provisions?
Mm-hmm. They come out with their cooking utensils and what goes. No, we had about 60. Then the weather got bad, we had the barn, you know. Summer months, the barn was, strawberry season especially, the barn is empty almost, except no hay, because the hay is used out all winter long. And the pasture is good by that time, so the animals don't need enough hay. So there are animals out in the pasture. Well, they got the whole barn to themselves too. They want to use a little mating place, you know, if the weather's bad.
When did the Mexicans start working in the fields in your city?
Near as I can figure out, after World War II, biggest percentage of them. There may be a few before that, but we never had them ourselves. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
Here, see, my folks didn't have them.
They were the migrants that were coming. Again, they were traveling with the crops or harvesting?
Some of them were migrants, or they call it the follow the crop, you know, seasonal worker, transit. But during World War II, we had what they call the nationals, which means they were imported in during the harvest and shipped back to Russia, to Mexico right after the harvesting is done. Usually end up about 6 months in the States and 6 months at home.
Mm-hmm. After World War II, then, there was a lot of Mexican migrant laborers mm-hmm. in the whole area here, not only your farm.
Yeah, all over. In fact, there's more. Outside of our farm, we never did have Mexicans really much, but you take around toward Gresham, not Gresham, but Hillsborough and Forest Grove out there, there's quite a group of them out there harvesting time. Some are just transit, you know, they migrate from Arizona to here, then back that way again.
How about housing for the Mexicans then? Were they operating on the same way, tents or?
Well, the laws has changed now. You have to have pretty good cabins for them where you can use them. They won't let you use tents like they used to.
No, running water.
Running water, mm-hmm. flushing toilets, and so many people per unit or so many, you know, and so forth. They have to pass the standards, housing standards. So that's why we can't afford to put up any people kind of building, because it won't pass the standards. Then you get taxed on, so it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So labor has changed, but everything else has changed accordingly, so there we are.
How about children, youngsters, when they start coming out working in the fields?
School children. I always did.
They would work right along with the Mexicans, mm-hmm. Japanese. Mm-hmm.
But those days, you know, we didn't have any trouble out in the field. They just mind their own business. They all work out crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a little 9-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid picking right alongside the Mexican, not Mexican. We didn't have Mexicans. So it were the Filipino Chinese or, you know, white people. Indians, they all work together, never had any trouble. But usually Indians will help each other finish their role, and there'll be a group of them working together and gabbing away. Well, you know, when you gab away, you don't pick. That's why they were, you know, too much socializing in their work, so. But it's piecework, so they work at their own speed, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But some people want to make a lot of money, well, won't even talk, they just work. In other words, they make the 3 months or 4 months or 6 months of summer, they make the year's earnings, and then they can go off the winter. Or they get just a minute to go out on a hoeing job or something like that, see? Or a trimming job. Women and kids stay in town. See, kids can't leave until school's out. Originally, school used to be out in the middle of May. Now it's the middle of June. And it didn't start about middle of September, or after Labor Day, earliest. So they had the whole summer for the kids. They take the kids right out on the farm. Mother stay with them if the father don't come. But usually women folks get together now and they come out together, see, with a bunch of kids.
It must have been really a help then that you were able to have school children come out and help pick,
yes.
Help with the crops.
Gee, those children were taught to work, so they worked from 6-7-year-old kid. They couldn't leave them home, they bring them out on the farm anyway, see? But they, maybe they didn't work all day, maybe they work, 2 or 3 hours in the morning, they lay off the rest of the day. But they have a quarter, 5 flats, or 4 flats, or 3 flats, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have been satisfied with that much.
But that 5 or 6 year old kid, that'd mm-hmm. be plenty for him. But it's still better than nothing, and then they learn to work.
How about when did you start busing the children in? Or
actually, we started hauling children after World War II. Mm. No, we hauled before that. Come think of it, we hauled them. In 1934. I think we started hauling kids out of Tigard area. So when I graduated high school, we was running the truck and pickups.
We're talking. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. When was it? It was in 40. In the 48 or so, 49, 50s maybe, that you start driving a truck?
We did it before World War II, Sasha.
No, I mean after we got here.
Oh yeah, we...
Then we used to go around the Maplewood area, and they, you know, the back of the truck put a couple of strands of rope around across it.
Yeah, we hauled them right after World War II,
they said
yeah.
It had to be buses.
The kids didn't like the buses as much as
no,
that
they
truck,
said
they had more
truck
fun.
The truck was more fun.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I still remember riding in the back of the trucks.
But when you talk about, I think about the danger aspect of it, and then...
Well, as long as they behave themselves, as long as the driver is sane, well, it shouldn't be no danger, but...
We always had someone older in the back.
Yeah. Little kids had to sit forward, and the big ones sitting up right on the tail end of the truck, watch the rope.
I know, we never behaved ourselves. We always had our feet hanging out in the end. That was half the kick, dragging your foot on the asphalt.
Until the cop catch you, then you'll be dragging your feet down the road, the asphalt all together, walking home. Yeah.
Well, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, I think, but you must have, both of you, must have met a lot of children, a lot of people through the years. It's really
mm-hmm. We have, and as I said before, some of them children come back to work. It's about time if their grandchildren come back. I better quit. They are, you know, like Drummond's. Their father worked here, sisters worked here, or aunts worked here before. Now the Drummond boys are working here again. So they're already 16 years old, aren't they?
14 and 15,
I think. Anyway, their parents worked for us before.
And you know, we go to a restaurant or we go somewhere in town. Hi, Satch, hi, Yosh. And you think, you have to think who it is.
It must be hard to keep track of all the kids and all the faces.
Mm-hmm. But no. We do notice one thing. The ones who, there's a girl named Catherine who always used to help clean up the roads and help the ones who are slow and everything. Well, she turned, she became a registered nurse, and she spent some time in Africa, and she sent us a hot looking card on Christmas from Africa, if you know what I mean, because the temperature difference, you know, the zone. Many of them still keep in contact with us, so it's really nice that way.
Do you think that's something of a value for children of that age, to be able to work, make money on their own?
I think so.
I think in a later life they know how to work, use their hands. Like you, you know, you can use both hands. You'd be surprised how many people that hasn't done any hand work cannot use both hands.
Well, another thing too, though, not just earning the money, but they'll know how to spend it to buy clothing now, instead of saying, well, I can buy many, many at a cheap price. Maybe they'll go just a little higher and buy better quality. They'll learn how to shop for things as well as, you know, earn spending money for whatever.
You know, also budgeting. Budget the money so they don't blow it all in one place and have no fun with it. That way you learn to earn money as well as learn to spend the money properly or wisely.
What do you think of the law that was passed just, what, 2-3 years ago about children under 12 not allowing to work.
Well, I heard quite a few families because I figure it this way. Some of the children have a 10, 11-year-old sister and brother home. They have to stay home and babysit those kids because the parents are both working. And they're not allowed to bring them on the farm. So before, they used to bring about 9-year-olds on the farm and babysit them and make money too. And the parents were relieved because they were out on the farm. They knew who was, someone was watching them there. And the sister and brother were there too. So it was hurting some that way. I noticed a year or two ago when we first came in with the 12 years and older, well, we can't go to work this year because we got to babysit the single brother and sister. Because they can't go out on the farm. Well, can we bring them out on the farm? I said, no way you can bring them out on the farm, because if you do, I'd be in trouble.
They're not allowed on the farm at all, no matter whether they're picking or not.
We could almost start a nursery school, probably, if we let them come.
Well, we won't want to have
that young. Daycare center.
But there's a disadvantage, I think, there, but government see it different. Well, we just have to abide by it. That's what I could say. But sooner or later, I'm going to give up too. You know, I'm getting that age.
This is sort of an open-ended question. You can respond to it in a number of different ways. But and all the people that you met out in the fields, there must have been a lot of special incidences or experiences out in the fields that were, you remember, that were especially funny or something that was really touching or something like that. I know it's sort of a wide open question, but maybe you can remember some of the things that you really remember that stick out in your mind.
She remembered more than I do those things.
Well, I remember a fellow by the name of Lloyd and his cow jokes.
But there are some of them, you know, really, you know, feel sorry for them. They come out to work and parents are still sleeping. No food in the house, come out to work, no lunch.
Well, I remember where one girl, every morning she would eat her special cereal that she bought. When she goes home, it's all gone. And, you know, I mean, things like that, it's really heartbreaking to hear. If I feel that if parents bring children into the world, well, if they want to send them out to work, fine, but make sure they have something to eat. And if they bought it with their own money, reserve it for them, you know. Even if they have to buy it for the others, if that one particular child purchased it for his own, I think he should be able to eat whatever he purchased himself, without having to divide it with the others who aren't even going out to work. But there's been a case where there was one fellow who was considered, you know, mentally slow, and yet he, well, when he first came, he couldn't go up the ladder. He had such a fright, you know, about it. It's, but I said, well, you can do it, we're all doing it. And I showed him how, and after that, well, he was running up and down the steps, had more coordination. And then I found out later that he turned out for basketball and made the team, and that was really something. Hmm. But, you know, so many different things, you know, that
And some of the children have come back real happy because they made money. They bought the parents some anniversary gift, and you know, they bought it their own self, and they're really happy because it wasn't a lot of the allowance the parents gave them. And it made them really feel good to say the parents were real happy. So they come back and tell me all about it. Listen to those things, you know, it makes a few good things going on in this kind of world.
And then people, well, the different pickers will go on a family trip and they come back with gifts for us and they don't even have to do that. Hard-earned money and you waste it on us, I say. But, you know, they just want to share something.
But, there must be a lot of satisfying things about people coming back. And
Now they still keep in touch with us, and a number of them do. A number probably went somewhere else, and we lost contact. But every year, a few come back, don't they?
Well, there's one incident last year. One boy used to always gripe that his parents were picking on him. You know, they always gripe about parents picking on him. I said, well, they're trying to straighten you out, so it's for you, good. There we go again, you know. Finally, he has a job, and his wife got a job, and they got a little child. He was working a night shift, and she was working a day shift, so they took care of the child fine. All of a sudden, the wife had acute appendicitis, she had to go to the hospital. There he was stuck with a baby. No babysitter when he's gone. He didn't know what to do. Well, so happened, I don't know how it happened, but mother called and says, how's everything? Not so good. He said, what's wrong? Well, my wife's in the hospital, and I got to go to work. No babysitter at night time. Why don't you tell me so? Bring him over. Well, take him over there. She said, come back night time. She said, you know, next morning, I thought I'd take him home, because he's going to be home, you know. No, leave him here. You got to get some rest, and then you got to go to the hospital. So he was thankful that the parents thought about him and took care of him. You know, he's, even after they've grown, they're still looking out for their own kids. He said, well, you was right. He said, come out the field and told me that I was right, that nothing like parents. He says, nobody will help you, but parents will. And things get tough, he says. So things like that come up once in a while. They're kind of interesting, you know.
Well, we've been selling berries to the strawberry breakfast, you know, for the Rose Festival. And each year we have so many volunteers, we don't know how to narrow it down. And then Wendy would take them over, and they get to see all the doings at the
Princess
breakfast.
Queen and Prince in the court.
And they thought it was really something. And then, you know, when they start televising, well, then once in a while they get a glimpse of their own faces, and that was such a joy for the ones that picked the berries and were there. So. But, oh, there's a lot of nice things that we can remember. And but,
most of it's nice. I'd say majority of
it
turned out nice, really.
And what's so nice is they still keep in contact with us, you know, a number of them.
Even if they don't, well, they're doing all right. That's what, you know, what I mean is, even if they don't keep in contact with us, well, they're doing fine. That makes you feel better, you know, about kids. And if we didn't at least put them in the wrong road anyway.
That's good. Well, that's about all the questions that I have, unless you would like to add something.
That's all.
I appreciate it very much.
All right.